know, I really believe that today is a day where we make a decision to go deeper in the things of God. As we were worshiping, I couldn't help but think that, you know, I'm sure you've heard that expression, you know, this is not your father's, you know, your parents' car. You know, I think that's a thing about the Buicks or whatever. And listen, we need to get out of our heads the churches that we went to when we were little kids. And we went out of a sort of a religious sense of just, you know, honoring our parents, which we should do. And it became a ritual, if you will. It became simply a tradition because God is looking for something deeper than that. And even as we've been worshiping here, I just believe that many of you have sensed that just a deeper things that God wants to bring you into. And of course, the challenge is that we live in a world that is pulling on us in so many different ways. On the front of your bulletin, there's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And the word that the Lord gave me this week was simply the expression, don't waver. Come on, say that with me. Don't waver. And that concept of not wavering has to do with not being doubly minded, meaning we go, you know, we're hot for God one moment, and then we're hot for the things of the world the next, and we sort of go back, we vacillate back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Steadfast, immovable. Don't waver, always abounding or producing the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know that it's difficult for some of us to depending upon the backgrounds that we come out of, and you know, every one of us is, come, yeah, I can have a seat, please, have a seat. Every one of us comes out of a background and a situation that's different from one than another. And some of us have an easier go of this walk that we call Christianity. And some of us have a very difficult go at this walk that we call Christianity. You know, for me, my parents were believers, they modeled for me morality and integrity and honor and all of those things, although I didn't know Jesus growing up. But the point is that I had an easier go of entering into Christianity because I didn't accumulate so much baggage and junk in my life. But I realize that there are many people that have accumulations of things that they'd rather not even deal with or face. But I want to encourage you this morning, because inside your bulletin is an inspirational quote, and I'd ask you to turn there. It's on the bottom right corner of the inside page. A quote by C.S. Lewis, and I want you to absorb this. I want you to grab a hold of this. And this is his opinion, of course. This is not a scripture, but I think it can be supported by scripture. And he writes, God knows our situation. He will not judge us as if we had no difficulties to overcome. He will not judge us as if we had no difficulties to overcome. What matters is the sincerity and the perseverance of our will to overcome them. You know, every one of us is in a struggle to be all that we can be for Jesus Christ. Every one of us have challenges in remembering that we're Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God is pleased with, now listen to me thoroughly, is that he's pleased that we have entered into the battle. That we have not run away. That we've not given up. That we're not wavering. But that we are pressing in. And we're going to press through. And even as we've been worshiping in these songs, it's a matter of making a decision and not wavering. I'm not going to be one person one day and a different person another day. But I'm going to allow Christ to rule and reign in my life all of the time. Amen. And here's the beauty of it is that as we determine to press in, as we determine to embrace everything of the Spirit. Now I know the word that Pastor Tom brought forth, you know, some of you were probably, shaking your shoulders and nodding your, head and wondering, what is he talking about, tongues and speaking in tongues? Listen, it's in the Bible. You can't pick and choose what you want to read, but you need to absorb it all. And you need to recognize that if God has provided something for you, you'd be a fool to reject it. Sometimes we're more concerned with what people will think. My problem wasn't so much I was concerned about what people would think, but I was more concerned about what I would think. There are some things that I picked up this expression from a pastor long ago. There are some things that I would think about and realize that it really is in the Bible and it's part of our being Christians, but I would think that it was whacked. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to raise my hands in church. I'm not going to sing along with the songs. I'm not going to tap my foot as the music gets going. I'm not going to come up to the front because I feel like there's something drawing me up there. I'm not going to begin to pray in tongues or try to embrace that. But I'll tell you what. If you want to be led by the Spirit, Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is no condemnation in those that are what? In Christ Jesus. Who are what? Led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. The problem is we've been led by the flesh all of our lives. And now we come to a place where we say, I want to try something different. I believe God. I don't care what anybody thinks. Come on, I want you to turn to the person next to you. I want you to say to them, I don't care what you think. Now, some of you have been wanting to say that for a long, long time. But that's the truth of the matter. There is a world, our culture, our Western culture has become very secularized. What does that mean? God has been pushed out of the picture. And so we have a culture, generations that are coming forth who have not experienced the presence of God, who have not even, don't even know that there is a God. I remember many years ago, we took a young girl to live with us for quite a number of years. We took her to church. It was the first time she was ever in church. She was a teenager. There are many people who have never stepped into a church. There are many people who've never even cracked open a Bible. I was one of them. But there was a time and a place where I decided, I'm all in. Come on, can you hear what I'm saying? I'm all in. I'm all in. I am not going to allow, let me back up here a second. I don't mind making a mistake. If I make a mistake and it's my mistake, I usually can figure out a way to rectify things. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? The worst kind of mistake I hate is to take somebody else's advice and be wrong. Can you hear me? Why are we taking the advice of the world? Because I guarantee you, if you take the advice of the world, you will regret it. Because he is real. He has a plan for your life. He loves you. We've just gone through Easter and Good Friday, which demonstrates the love that God has, because he sent his only begotten Son, that whomever would believe upon him would not perish, would not pass, but have everlasting life. But it requires the being all in. Now, I don't mean you need to, you know, go to the bookstore and buy a robe with a hood on it and have big beads around your neck and carry a big old Bible. No, you can be just who you are. You can dress the way you are. You know, you want to comb your hair that way? That's fine. I don't care what you think, right? But don't waver, because through it all, you will see the blessings, you'll see the provision, you'll see the reality that you've made the right decision. Amen? Don't waver. Bible teaches us that, you know, there's trouble in life. As a matter of fact, it says, don't worry about tomorrow, because there's enough trouble for today. Right? That's what it says. Don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough stuff to deal with today. But you don't have to deal with it ever alone. Because even in one of the songs that we sing, he's always with us. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can always turn to him in prayer. You can always turn to him and just cry out to him. Man, you can get at you. Listen, you can get mad at God. It's okay. He's not going to go, oh, I can't believe he raised his voice to me. But my point is that we can be honest, because he knows everything anyway. He knows the motives and the intent of the heart. And we can just be open and honest with him. And as we begin to do, you know, enter into that dialogue. Now, I know that the world would say, oh, that's strange. That's weird. But when you've walked with him, when you've talked with him, then you know that he's there for you. And I know that whatever situation or circumstance I may go through in life, that I may not understand it. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of things I don't understand. But one thing I know is that he will not abandon me. Come on, come on. You need to grab a hold of that. And because you know, we make a decision not to waver, we never have to deal with guilt and shame and trying to run away from God. But the decision is yours. Your parents can't do it for you. Your children can't do it for you. Your siblings can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. You have to decide. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. I am committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if people don't understand it, that's fine. That's fine. But when they see the change that God does in your life, they're going to start to come to you and say, hey, what's going on? What do you mean you don't want to go drugging and drinking? What do you mean you don't want to sit around and tear up people in the neighborhood? What do you mean you don't want to, you know, share some pornography? You know, what do you mean you don't want to, you know, sit around and begin to be bitter and to complain and about how difficult this life is and how we've been mistreated and the people that have betrayed us, and when we just have one big old pity party? You know, when I put it that way, everybody would agree that's insane. But the reality is that we get sucked into that, and it's because we haven't decided. There's no part way. It's all the way. You're either in or you're out. You know, I like to use this line in the middle of the carpeting here, and if you're on the edges, you can see that. And listen, you're either in or you're out. Some people say, "Well, I'm playing my cards. You know, I'm playing the odds. I got 1 foot in and 1 foot out." Listen, if you got 1 foot out, you're out. You know, that's like saying, well, I've got 1 foot on the railroad track and 1 foot on the other side of the railroad track. Well, I'll tell you, when that train comes, doesn't matter, you got 1 foot out. Because it's 1 foot in that's going to take you out. And that's the way it is with the things of God. You know, we can, come on, we just need to get in. Amen? Come on. Now, I know I'm talking to a lot of people who are already 100% in, 110% in. But I also know that, and I looked at the struggles in my life as being a Christian and what it means to be a Christian and some of the, here's a hard word for you, some of the sacrifices that you have to make. But what you find is that the sacrifices you make are not sacrifices at all. But in the long run, they're just a release of burdens off of your back. Looks like a sacrifice, but it's not. God's got something better. Amen? God's got something better. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've brought us here. That, Lord, that in, through the music and through the ministry of Tom, that we've been challenged to not just intellectually understand what's going on, but, Lord, to embrace your spirit and become spiritual men and women, Lord, and to not waver. And the knowledge that we need to support one another, we need to encourage one another. Because for some people, it's an easy transition, but for others, it's very difficult. But Lord, you have provided us with the same means to victory. You placed your Holy Spirit in us to will and to do for your good pleasure. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we ask you to bless the remainder of our time. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, I want to share something with you. Tragedy comes in many forms. We've all known what tragedy is about and what tragedy is. And whenever one of us experiences a tragedy and we become aware of it, you know, we try to be there. You know, I saw Bob. There's Bob Countryman. You know, Bob was in the hospital a week ago or so, and people responded. Once we knew he was there, we responded. And did you get a fruit basket yet? No. Oh, no fruit basket. Oh, my. Harry, did we send them a fruit? Oh, you did get it. Okay. Amen. He ate it. That's why. You ate the evidence. You know, we've had... I assure you that we put the word out to the prayer team, and the prayer teams are praying, and we believe in prayer. We believe that God moves through prayer, and when we become aware of things, we want to be able to come alongside. Amen. That's why it's important for you to know that when something happens to you, or you've got a situation that takes place in your life that's a tragedy, you need to let us know. There's nothing worse than for us to find out weeks later that you went through something. And here's what the devil will do. Come on now. I'm telling you the truth now. He's going to put in your mind, hey, they never called. Church doesn't care about me. They say they care, but they really don't care. No, it's not that we don't care. It's just that we don't know. You know, you need to let us know. I received a call last night from David Houlihan, and a tragedy has befallen the Houlihan family. And Eunice, I don't know if you want to come up and share. We definitely want to pray with you and your family, but I can just share a little bit of what I know. Why don't you come up, you and your family, because we do want to pray with you. We want to lay hands on you and you know, there are certain tragedies where there's a loss of a loved one, and you can respond to it. You can deal with it because they're close by. But Eunice has lost her brother, and the situation is extremely, I won't even say horrific. And so, do you want to say anything, or you do? Okay. I know this is very difficult, but we are standing with you.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, my heart goes to his wife and two kids, 5 and 4 years old.
This is your
and
brother.
And my mother, yes, yeah. For my brother. My brother was in the military and high rank in Venezuela. And, you know, Venezuela is in South America. It's close to Colombia. He was one of those persons that have to stop the drugs from Colombia. He got a new position. He was stopping a lot of boats. And he was basically killed, like an assassin, you know, that went to his house and killed him outside his house. Sadly, his kids witnessed the death, and another person in another town next to him died 2 days later the same way. I mean, they killed him too. So, you know, it's really hard for somebody to stand up for the right things when everything around you is so corrupted. But I know our God never forgave us, and I really think that my brother is with him and in peace, and, you know, he died doing the right thing, even though it's very hard for us to not have him with us, especially my mother and his wife and kids.
Amen. David, do you want to say anything?
Just that he was, you know, he was a Navy commander. He was doing the right thing, and he was offered bribes by the cartel, and he didn't take it. And he stopped about 7 boats in a couple of weeks. It stopped a lot of drugs from going through, and they just came to his house and killed him. Yeah. His family.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Come on. Can we agree that this is, you know, it makes your problem pale in comparison right now? You know, people doing the right thing, battling the drug cartels, and then to be murderously assassinated in front of your children. And these are young children. These are, what, 4 or 5 years old, right? Yeah. So we're going to pray. And what we're going to pray is just for God's peace. Come on, Tom and Carl and Mary, Dee, Bob, Matt, come on. Pastors, why don't we come up here and, you know, and listen, if you know, we just want to pray. Heavenly Father, right now, we just release your anointing, Father. And Father, we can't imagine the pain. But Lord, we stand with our sister, we stand with our brother, we stand with Brandon, Lord, and just ask that you would somehow just release your peace, which passes all understanding. The knowledge that he is with you, that he was fighting for righteousness. And Lord, that he would, because he would not take a bribe, because he would not compromise the evil one, put it in the minds and hearts of evil men to do this evil thing. And so, Lord, we just ask for your grace in this situation, Lord. We lift up Eunice's mom to you, the other brothers and sisters. Lord, the wife, the children, Lord, all those that are involved, I don't know their name, but you know them. And we just ask you to just release an anointing upon them. Just a protection of your, not only physical protection, but just a protection in their mind, Lord, that they would be able to work through all of this. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to check out your bulletin. There's good stuff in there. We've got Bible studies. We have men's breakfast coming up. Men's breakfast is for this coming Saturday. And it will be here at the Annex. We have a water baptism coming up on the 17th. And there's a class for those that want to have some instruction about water baptism. That information is in the bulletin. Hyde Park Fishing Derby is coming up soon. Wisdom Club, there's a mission trip to Haiti. And then we have an ordination service this afternoon at 2. Amen? All of it is good stuff. Amen? All of it is good. Because we will not waver, but we will go forward in what God has called us to. I want to take a moment right now also to recognize those that have participated in the Foundations 1 class. And Carl, since you actually taught that class, why don't I read the names, and then I'll hand you the certificate and you can present it, okay? So I'm going to ask the following people to please come forward. Sheila Decker, Is Sheila here today? I don't see her. Okay. Okay. Tashina? Is Tashina here? Two down. Annalise. Is Annalise here? And her husband. Yeah. Okay. We have Annalise and... Okay, all right, okay. Annalise. Beth Bayless. Is Connor here? He's upstairs working with children's kid. Church, okay. All right, this is for Beth. Beth Bayless. Vera. I can't believe Vera's not here. Oh, my goodness.
She's always here.
She's always here. Yeah, Vera and Steve Salagi are both out. Okay. Kelly Nugent. Is Kelly here?
Yep.
Well, if she's not, I know her husband is here. And so Kelly and Brian. And Kelly's representative. Amen. Amen. And then we have Pete and Gina Miller. Amen. We give those to you. Amen. Thank you. We're going forward with Foundations 2. We're going into our third week, and good stuff. We encourage you to take Foundations 1 and Foundations 2. This time, I'd like to receive the church tithes and offerings, and then we'll get into the Word. Amen. If you need, your offering envelopes or should be in your bulletin. Hallelujah. Wait a minute, I'm all the way in. I'm not standing.
How do you know in's not
there? I don't know, you know.
To the right.
Right foot in and shake it all about. No, wrong song. Amen, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow. We thank you for the graciousness that you've shown us, Lord. We thank you that you sent your son for us, Lord. We thank you that when he was resurrected, that, Lord, he sent his Holy Spirit to live within us. And, Lord, he's just as the Father has given Jesus as a gift, Jesus has given the Holy Spirit as a gift, and the Holy Spirit has given us a multitude of gifts. And, Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord. We're just so thankful for the truth and the truth that truly has set us free. And we ask you to bless our giving this morning. Lord, bless it back to every person, Lord. Let them sow 70, 80, 90, 100-fold. And we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hey, let me just share a brief word with you. We don't have a whole lot of time, but I think there's enough time to share something. You okay with that? You really need to receive the word. You know, we've had worship, we've had prayer, we've had some inspirational stuff. Now let's get into the word. Over the last couple of weeks, because of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, by the way, you may have tried to get a CD. Our equipment crashed, but it's now working. So if you're looking for the CD of from Easter as well as Good Friday, I believe they're out in the foyer area. But in any case, as we looked at those two Sundays, as you think about the messages that we talked about in those areas, what we were talking about is the fact that there was a spiritual war taking place between the enemy of our souls, the devil, and with Jesus. And we know that Jesus won the battle. Amen? You know, there was a song years ago by Carmen. Some of you don't even know who Carmen is. But there was a singer by the name of Carmen. And it was a song about, you know, Jesus and the devil being in the ring, and they're duking it out. You know, they're having, I think the title of it was The Champion. And in the song, you get a sort of sense that the devil is sort of beating on Jesus, and he's taking it, you know, like a Rocky movie, you know, and but he keeps bouncing back up. You know, every time he gets knocked down, he gets back up. And in the end, guess what happens? Rocky wins. No, Jesus wins. But I want you to understand something. You know, that is a picture, that is a poetic illustration, that is a metaphor of what went on. But I'll tell you what, Jesus had no battle. He knew who he was. He was all in. He did not waver. The attacks came, and he knew how to deal with it. And in the same way, you and I have to deal with those very same spiritual attacks. See, the spiritual attack has everything to do about who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? And when we look at it that way, then we realize that there really are two kinds of spiritual warfare. Now, the thing is that when you talk about warfare in the military, you know, we have plans that are tactical and plans that are strategic. The difference between tactical and strategic is that the strategic plan is a plan to win the entire war. But a tactical strategy or a tactical approach or a program is designed to win a city or to win a hill or to overcome a certain area. And so when you take all of those tactical approaches and you put them all together, then you get a overall strategy for winning. Too many of us are looking for tactical advice. I'm dealing with this problem. How do I deal with it? I'm dealing with a problem over here. Help me figure out how to overcome this area. I'm dealing with a problem over here. How do I overcome this area? Listen, God wants to work on you from the inside out. God is not the God of the tactical. God is about the God of the strategic. See, God has a plan for you that you're going to win the battle. You're going to win the war. It's not about winning individual battles. It's about winning the war. And his plan is that you're going to win the war because you're going to recognize that there's a spiritual battle going on for your soul. What is your soul? Your soul is the place where you make decisions. The soul is where your intellect is, your understanding is. A lot of your personality comes out of your soul. The soul is where your will is, meaning that's where you make choices. And the battle is for your soul. And so there are two kinds of spiritual warfare that we can become familiar with. And of course, one of them I find in Luke chapter 11, verse 14. And there are many illustrations, and I'm going to give you some scriptures. I encourage you to write them down and then look them up. But in 11:14, it says this. And Jesus was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. I want you to grab a hold of this very simple scripture. One out of many. Jesus was casting out a demon. And the thing is, the spirit that was being cast out was a mute spirit. What does that mean? It was a spirit that inhabited this individual, and as a result of the personality, the character of the spirit, it also transferred to the person because the person was mute. Now, I'm not here to say that people who are mute are possessed by demons, okay? Let's make that clear. But what I am saying is that Jesus recognized that there was a spirit involved in this situation. And the only way to bring deliverance and healing to this individual was to cast out that demon. And the moment that demon was cast out, it says, the guy began to speak. And people went, golly. That's southern Jerusalem. You know, so when we talk about deliverance, I mean, deliverance is something that is real, but you have to discern the spirit. And here's the thing that's important for us to understand. Number one, that the spirit has, how shall I put it, a personality, if you will. And a person who has that kind of spirit is going to exhibit that personality. Another person who has the same kind of spirit is going to exhibit that same personality. Another person who has that same spirit is going to exhibit that same personality. That's why when you look at you know, I'm going to pick on, can we pick on evil people? You say, well, there's no such thing as, yeah, believe me, they're evil people. They're evil people. You know, Eunice and David and Brandon, they know there are evil people. They're experiencing it firsthand. And the thing is that what we need to recognize is that sometimes it is an evil spirit that is controlling that individual. Now, lest you become nervous, lest you become concerned, lest you leave here thinking that you've got an evil spirit, let me tell you something. I don't believe a Christian can have an evil spirit. I don't believe a Christian can be possessed by an evil. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about simple suggestion. We're talking about possession. Because the Word of God's very clear. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Let me emphasize. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, then the evil spirit or the unholy spirit cannot possess you. But the thing is, can we allow that unholy spirit to influence us? And the answer to that, unfortunately, is yes. See, it's all a matter of who you're going to listen to. We all struggle with the idea of putting on the new man. You see, that's the kind of spiritual warfare that we would rather cast something out than deal with the work and the discipline of putting on the new man or putting on the new woman. You see, we want it to be easy. Come on, how many people want it to be easy? You know, how many people remember Staples? They used to have what, the easy button? Remember that? You know, just hit the easy button. Well, I'm going to show you a little video. It's one of my favorite videos. I've shown it before, and some of you will say, oh, I remember this. But I want you to look at this and allow it to speak to you. And can we get that going? Here we go. Nice and loud, please.
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Still being very delighted about.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no. We don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes. And then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes. S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So, I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that Sounds frightening.
Yes.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No, no, we don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
Actually, I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! None of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. And there's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! How are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook!
Stop it! You stop it! You stop it!
What's the problem, Kat?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
Now, the reality is that you just can't say stop it and it stops. You know, it's humorous, it's funny. There's an element of truth to it, but the reality is that the things that motivate us or the things that drive us are things that have been going on for many, many, many years. And as a result of that, we find ourselves in habit patterns, if you will, that are very, very difficult to stop. And as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is able to discern the Word of God and bring it to our memory in every situation that we find ourselves in. And so while we really can't say stop it as if we could just actually one moment stop something, because you know what happens. When you say stop it, I'm going to stop this. I'm not going to do this anymore. All of a sudden that voice rises up and you are attracted and you are pulled and you are influenced to do the very thing you stop. You say you're going to stop. You know, I always use the example of food because it's sort of innocent and everyone can relate to it. But, you know, food has a voice. You know, you put your favorite food in the refrigerator and you say, well, I am not going to eat this food. Well, what begins to happen? You begin to think about it. See, it begins with a thought. And then you begin to walk over to the refrigerator just to make sure that it's still there. You know, if you have kids in the house, that's always a risk. You know, if you have kids in the house, you never know if it's still going to be there. And then you open the refrigerator once, you look at it, say, oh, it's still there. And then you close it, and now you can picture it. Then you open it again, and now you can smell it. And then all of a sudden, don't know how it happens, it's gone. And the crumbs are still on your lips. So to say stop it is not very, very practical advice, although it's the very thing that we know we need to do. You know, no one needs to tell us what we need to stop. We've tried stopping, and it perhaps was not successful. Well, I want to give you some instruction very quickly as to how to begin to overcome those areas. And one of the things, and you've heard it 1,000 times, if you've heard it once, is that you need to find time somehow to get into his word. You know, you don't have to read a whole book. You don't have to read a whole chapter. But you have to begin to develop a process of renewing your mind. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And see, that's the spiritual warfare that you and I face every day. We want to renew our minds. We want to change our way of thinking. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says this. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That's a promise. If you are willing and obedient. So to be willing means to be motivated. To be willing means to be obedient. And so God is looking for you to be motivated and obedient to his word. But if you're not in his word, then what voice are you going to listen to? Because there are many voices speaking into our heads. Not all of it is God. In Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. See, God is at work in you to motivate you and to bring you to a place where you're willing to obey. But you can't do that simply because you want the pain to stop. You can only do that when you embrace all of who Jesus is and what he's provided for you at the cross of Calvary. And the only way you're going to know what's been provided to you is to understand and begin to embrace the promises of God that he's made to you. God is a promise-making God. He fulfills his promises. Now, I will agree with you, he never fulfills them fast enough for me. Come on, right? He's never fast enough. But God will fulfill his promises if you don't waver. You see, it's when you waver, you got to go all the way back to the beginning again. It's like playing a video game. You know, you've got those lives, you know, and all of a sudden you got the third life and it's gone. And here you go. You got to start all over again. See, Joyce Myers coined the phrase, the battlefield of the mind. Everybody familiar with that? Okay. Excellent book, excellent teacher. But the thing is that the battlefield may be of the, I mean, the mind, the battlefield of the mind may be where the battle takes place. But the real battle is the battle for your mind. See, the battlefield takes place in the mind. But the real warfare is for your mind. Who will you believe? How will you know that it's God speaking to you unless you find the time to get into his word? How many people take medications of some kind? You know, it could be vitamins, whatever. You know, I think most people do. Well, I want to add another medication to your repertoire. And that is, I want you to take the gospel. You need to get into His Word. Now, you know, I can preach here and I can encourage and I can maybe motivate you for 20 minutes. But the point is that until you take ownership, till you take responsibility for the renewing of your mind, then you're never going to be able to, as the Bible teaches, take off the old and put on the new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that those that are in Christ, that's us, are new creations. The old has passed away and all things have become new. Now, of course, that's speaking about us spiritually. The problem is that while you may be new spiritually, you still have old habits and stuff in your life. And you have to unload it. The problem is that, you know, you get so comfortable with it. You know, about 2 years ago, Dee and I, we bought because we travel a lot, we bought a brand new set of luggage. Listen, every time I have to travel, I still get out my old black, ripped up, you know, bag, you know, and it's got the zipper handles are broken off, and I just attach little, what do you call it, those plastic, not twisties. A woman would do that. We put... Ziplocs, the Ziplocs, you know, and so, you know, I learned something last night. I know I'm running over, but listen. A woman told my wife Dee at the Christmas tree shop after I walked out of the store, saying I'm going to sit in the car and play with my phone because this is the second time you're going around. And so after I walked out, a woman walked over to Dee. She says, "Doesn't he realize that this is our Home Depot?" I sort of got it, you know? I sort of got it. But putting on a new man. Let me give you some scriptures and then we're going to close. Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10. We're not going to put them up. But those two scriptures talk about the fact that we have to take off the old and then we need to put on the new. Now, I know that many of us, we think, well, that's what God's going to do. No. God has already done what he's promised to do. He's promised to give us a new life. He's promised to give us a new spirit. He's promised to give us a heart of flesh. He's promised that he's provided his word for us. He's provided his Holy Spirit, which will guide us in his word. And so he's already put out a game plan, if you will, a strategic plan so that you would have victory in this life. Come on, how many people want victory in this life? Amen? How many, we want to be overcomers. The Bible says that he wants us to be the head and not the tail. I don't want to be the tail. I mean, my thought mind goes there and it's not a pleasant place. I want to be the head. Bible says, I want to be on top, not on top. I want to be the lender, not the lendee. Amen. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to go in and I want to come out and I want to prosper. I want to live the good life. I realize that there are hardships in life, there are tragedies in life, there are things that are going to happen in life, but I will not allow those things to deter me, to cause me to waver on the course that I'm on. Because that's what the devil wants to do. Wants to get you off track. Wants you to get inside, you know, one leg in, one leg out. And so we make a decision. We make a decision to become all that he has called us to be. And it takes time. But you need to put the time in. If you want to be a medical doctor, you have to put the time in. You know, if you want to be a welder, you have to put the time in. If you want to be a mechanic, you have to put the time in. If you want to be anything, you've got to put the time in. If you want to be that new creation, moving in the fullness of everything that God has purchased for you, you need to put the time in. There's a part that God does, but then there's a part that only you can do. Now, I can tell you that you know, my wife, we've been married a long time. She knew me before I received Christ, and she certainly knows me now. Honey, I'm going to ask you a question. What would you rather have, the old man or the new man? Why are you thinking about that? She did say the new man, okay, after a little bit of a pause. See, it really is a no-brainer. But you have to do your part. Discipline yourself. Hey, read one chapter a day. Do it in the morning. Most of the chapters are short. I'm not talking about reading the whole books at a time, but make it a part of your lifestyle. And what you're going to find is that you're going to read through the entire Bible. Then you're going to say, hey, now then you're going to read it again. And all of a sudden, it makes more sense. You know. And then you read it again, and then you say, oh, man, I never saw that. Where was that? I missed that page. I must have been sleeping that day. But your spirit is never asleep. Amen? Come on, I want to see us be victorious. I want to see all of you be victorious in him. But don't waver. Don't waver. Don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to him. Amen? Why don't you stand with me now? Hallelujah. Just to remind you that there is an ordination service at 2 o'clock. Just encourage you to, if you're planning to be here, just a reminder. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know, I think that I preached on this message many, many years ago. And was it you, Karen, that made me a little keychain? And it said, don't waver? Was that you? You don't remember that? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay.
Not that you would, but one of the most prevalent things that I see in you is your steadfastness.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us. And although it may be cold, it's still beauty. It's just incredible how you've created this world. And Lord, with the sun and with the blue skies and with the snow and the trees, and it's just incredible. And Lord, we just ask you to continue to bless each person here. And Lord, to help each person find a way to begin to be motivated to read your word. Not trying to read the whole Bible in a day or whole books at a time, but Lord, steadfast and sure. And in that promise, or in that process, you promise that we will be changed because our minds will be renewed, the old ways will fall away as we put on the new. And so, Lord, bless this congregation, bless every man and woman here, and just ask you to bless the children in all the programs that we have. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now remember, this is a time for fellowship. Don't run out. Make sure you greet someone. Say hello to someone. You may see some people you don't know. This is a great opportunity to make new friends.